Good evening. It's good to come together this evening, and it's good to talk about the days of our youth, even though maybe we're getting along in years and getting older. There are certainly lessons this evening for those of us who may be older, but I want us to think about our young people this evening and the value that we have in them, and it's good to see our young people here this evening and the importance of them putting God first in their life. In the scripture reading that we had this evening in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, the first verse there in chapter 11 and verse 9 tells us that youth can certainly be a time of joy. And you think about that growing up as a child, those are some of the funnest years. It's a time of joy. It's a time of enjoying things in life. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth. Let thy heart cheer thee. Part of that might be due to the fact that when we're young, we have a lot of energy and we have a lot of health. Maybe we're not sick as we are when we get older, and we can get out and play and have fun and enjoy things around us. So our health and our youth allows us to enjoy things in life, and youth can certainly be and should be a time of joy. It should be a time of enjoying things in life. Not only our youthful health, but maybe possibly the fact that when we're younger, we don't have as many responsibilities as we do when we're older, and so we have time to get out and enjoy things. And that's certainly a good time to live in our life. But you also notice in verse 11, in verse 9, walk in the ways of thy heart and in the sight of thine eyes, but know this, that all these things God will bring into judgment. And so, while we're young, we can certainly enjoy life, but we certainly need to keep the judgment day in the back of our mind, that God will hold us accountable for what we are doing. And then in chapter 12 and verse 1, remember also thy Creator in the days of thy youth, before the evil days come. There's going to come a time as you get older, and that comes to different individuals at different stages in their life. But there comes a time where evil sets in, or where you're tempted with evil, and you might go off into that pathway. And so keep God at the forefront of your mind when you're young. And before those days come, when you might say, verse 1, I have no pleasure in them. Sometimes, as a younger person, they're growing up, they're going to Bible class, and their parents are encouraging them to read their Bible, and they pray, and things like that. But as they grow up, they don't have pleasure in that anymore. And so we've got to be mindful that the devil can use that in our life. As we get older, we might grow farther away from God. And so the importance of the days of youth, the importance of keeping God at the focus of our lives. What got me to thinking about this lesson was last week, Ken prayed in one of his prayers. He was praying about the young people going back to school. And he was praying about how that God would keep them from temptation, and God would keep them from problems, and he mentioned peer pressure and things like that. And that got me to thinking about this lesson, and I put this material together because the young people are important, and they do face things, whether it's at school or other places. They're going to face things in the world that pressure them to do what is wrong. And so I began to think about some things that they can have at their disposal and some things that they can use in their life to keep them on the right path. Of course, the days of youth are not only a time of joy, but they can also be a time of trial. I remember in Judges chapter 8 and verse 20 that Gideon had a son, and he wouldn't do what was right. He wouldn't kill the evildoer there, the person who was fighting against Israel. It said because he was young and he was but a youth and he feared. Sometimes when you're young, you fear to do what is right. You fear to stand up for what is right. And so that can be a special time that the devil might use. Also, we find that, turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 13, and Ken mentioned this in his prayer, that, of course, young people and old alike have the possibility of being pressured by peers to do what is wrong. You remember, in 2 Samuel chapter 13, one of David's son, Amnon, we're told in the scripture, Amnon had a friend in 2 Samuel chapter 13 and verse 3. But Amnon had a friend. And we've done lessons on that before, where his friend, Jonadab, encouraged him to engage in sexual immorality with his half-sister, Tamar. And so Amnon had a friend, but that friend encouraged him to do wrong. And Amnon ended up raping his sister Tamar because of the advice of his friend. Amnon had a friend. And so we've got to watch our friendships. We've got to watch those around us and their counsel and what they're telling us to do. The days of youth can also be a time of trial with regard to sins. The psalmist says in Psalm 25 and verse 7, "Let me not remember the sins of my youth." And so sometimes the youth will have things associated with it, especially sexual sin, or we might want to go out and drink with our friends and other lusts. Paul talks about in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22 to flee youthful lusts. There are things sometimes that pressure young people that don't pressure older people. There are things that tempt younger people that wouldn't tempt an older person. And so youthful lusts. And in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 21, the evil days of youth that is mentioned there. And so it's certainly a time of joy. It's certainly a time of learning and having fun and being out because you have the health to do that and you have the time to do that. But it also comes with a special challenge, and that is that you can be tried in your youth to not live as you should. So what are some things that we can call to mind? And because of Ken's prayer, I thought about the young people. And I thought about the challenges that they face. And I wanted to bring a lesson to help them. And whether we have a few or many, it doesn't matter. Whether we have one young person or many, it doesn't matter. A few weeks back, I was down in Alabama on a Wednesday night and attended services there in Athens. And there's some larger congregations in that area. And on that Wednesday night, there were over 200 brethren worshiping, and I looked up on the front left, that's where all the young people were sitting, and I just took a quick head count. There were 25 teenage college-age kids. There were more teenage and college-age kids than are here this evening, probably. Just a lot of young folks. But whether there's one, whether there's 25 or more or less, it doesn't matter. All of our young people are important, and I want to encourage all of them to stand up and live right and do right. Become a Christian. Put God first and live right and be a good influence around you. So what are some things that young people can have at their disposal to help them as they're going back to school or in other walks of life to deal with peer pressures and to deal with the sins of youth and to deal with fear and other kinds of things that might come along your way? Well, first of all, I might suggest turning to the well-known story in 1 Samuel chapter 17 with regard to young David and Goliath. The first thing that I would encourage our young people this evening is to trust in the Lord when challenged by those who are out in the world. You're going to be challenged by people that are out in the world, and some of them will be like Goliath. They will just outright defy the Lord. They will just say terrible things about God. And they will put God down. They will say bad things about God. And you're going to be surrounded by people like that from time to time. And what you need to do is you just simply need to ignore that. And you need to be on the Lord's side and trust in the Lord and do what the Lord says. Now, you remember the story here about how that David was tending his father's flocks, and his brothers were supposed to be out fighting the Philistines, but nobody wanted to go up against Goliath. And so David comes on the scene. He comes to visit his brothers, and while he's out there, he says, "I'm going to take on the challenge." And so we find in chapter 17 and verse 29, is there not a cause? I'm here to fight for the Lord's side. We find in verse 31, and when the words were heard, which David spoke, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he sent for him, and David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are but a youth." I want you to underscore that in your Bible. Have you ever had somebody tell you something? "Well, you can't do such and such because you're young." Well, there are some things that limit us in our youth, but standing for the Lord is not one of them. You can do that when you're young. And Saul said, "You don't need to be going and doing this. You're just a young person." He didn't think he had the fortitude, the maturity, and the ability to do that. But look at David's answer in verse 34. David said unto Saul, "Thy servant was keeping his father's sheep, and when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb out of the flock, I went after him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he rose up against me, I caught him by the beard and smote him and slew him. Thy servant smote both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing that he has defiled the Lord's armies of the living God." And David said, "Jehovah that delivered me." Here's your trust in the Lord. "Jehovah that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will also deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." Come on down to verse 42. The Philistine came on and drew near. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was but a youth. Underscore that in your Bible. Saul said, you can't do this because you're a youth. Goliath comes out and says, you're not going to be able to do this. You're just a youth. You're going to have people telling you that you're young, but you can stand up and be counted on the Lord's side. Verse 43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that you come against me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give thy flesh unto the birds of the heavens and the beasts of the field. The Philistine was mocking God, was mocking the Israelite army of God. And David was not going to stand for that. You're going to have people out in the world, young folks, that challenge you. And they're saying things against God. They're saying things against the Bible. They're saying things against all that is good and right. And you need to understand that you can stand on the Lord's side and not be counted with them. Of course, you know the story that David took those smooth stones in his sling, and he crossed the brook and went out to fight him and threw that stone and hit Goliath in the forehead and dropped him to the ground. David had great trust in God, great confidence. Come down with me to verse 47. And that all this assembly may know that Jehovah saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is Jehovah's, and he will give you into our hand. And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew to meet David, that David hastened and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. No cowardice there. And David put his hand in his bag and took thence a stone and sling it and smote the Philistine in the forehead. And the stone sank into his forehead and he fell upon his face to the earth. And so we need to understand that you're going to be challenged by people in the world. And they're going to say things against God. They're going to say things against all that is right and good. But you stand for what is right. Another piece of advice from the Word of God is that you need to keep following the advice of older and wiser Christians. This may be your parents. This may be your grandparents. This may be an aunt or an uncle. This may be a grandmother or a grandfather. But you need to follow the advice of older and wiser Christians. In 1 Kings chapter 12, you remember the story there about young Rehoboam and how the kingdom has just split. And he now has an opportunity to rule the southern kingdom. And he calls together the people to find out he's the new king, he's the new leader. How should I go about this? Should I be like my father, or should I be different in some kind of way? And we find in 1 Kings chapter 6, beginning in verse 12, that Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived, saying, what countenance give me to return answer to the people? And they spake unto him, saying, if you will be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and took counsel with the young men that were grown up with him, that stood with him. And the counsel of the younger men was to be a rough ruler. And he took their counsel, and he did not listen to the wise men. And it just caused greater problems in the kingdom. Verse 13, and the king answered the people roughly, and forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and spake to them after the counsel of the young men, saying. And so he just simply listened to his peers. We need to listen to older and wiser Christians. A lot of times we don't want to do that when we're younger, because our first thought is, they're trying to tell me something to take away my independence, or they're trying to tell me something to control me. That may not necessarily be the case. It may simply be that the bit of advice that they're giving you is from many years of experience, many years of wisdom in doing the types of things that you're wanting to do. It's not just simply advice to take all of your fun away or to be controlling. It's because we've lived that very thing that you're going through. We've done that multiple times. We know what the result's going to be. We know what the outcome's going to be. And these older, wiser men knew that if you step in as a king and start running roughshod over these people, like read verses 10 and 11, and you're acting like a scorpion, whipping these folks, you're going to have a bad result. They knew that from years of ruling. They weren't just sitting there trying to make Rehoboam's life difficult and not let him experience his youth. They knew from politics and ruling that that's not how you get people to change. That's not how you govern people. It was based on years of experience, not just some casual bit of advice. Listen to your grandparents. Listen to your mom and dad. Listen to an aunt or an uncle. Especially, and I put on the overhead, when they're Christians, they're going to be giving you wise counsel and wise advice. When we're young, we just simply want to do what our friends are saying. And we can certainly go off and do that, but it's going to cause harm, and it's going to cause problems. And as a result, then, the kingdom splits, and there's a division in Israel, partly because Rehoboam followed the advice of the young men that grew up with him and forsook the counsel of the older men. You may talk with them about your clothing, your dress. You may talk with them about the subject of sexual intercourse. You may talk with them about alcohol or drugs or language or should I go to this event or not. Listen to what they're saying. They're not just simply, well, here's an opportunity to control a young person. They've lived those things. They've done those things. We've been around the block. We've made those kinds of mistakes. And we're giving advice not only from the Bible, but from personal experience. Don't forsake that. Don't let that go. Take that over the advice of those that you're growing up with. The younger men simply told Rehoboam what he wanted to hear, not what he needed to hear. The older, wiser Christian will tell you what you need to hear. Maybe not what you want to hear, but what you need to hear. And we certainly need to stick with that and live with that. And if we struggle with maybe someone close to us, well, maybe my mom and dad are too close, or maybe my aunt and uncle or my grandfather or grandmother are too close, go to an older, wiser member of the church. You can go to an elder. You can go to your Bible class teacher. You can go to someone who is going to give you the advice that's going to lead you in the right direction. Someone who's a member of the church, who's older and wiser. Follow that. Look at that. Heed that. Another bit of advice that is very important is to keep God's Word near. Turn with me to Psalm 71. All of our Bible classes, all of our sermons, you're going to be out on your own and you won't have a Bible with you. But you keep that you keep that Word of God near you in your heart and in your mind. Those things that your Bible class teachers are telling you, things that you hear in a sermon, things that mom and dad might be talking about at home from the Word of God. In Psalm 71 in verse 5, "For Thou art my hope, O Lord Jehovah. Thou hast been my trust from my youth." And then come on down to verse 17, "O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous work." You've been taught the Word of God when you're young. When you get out on your own, call that Word to mind. That's what's going to help you make it through certain situations. Turn with me to Psalm 119. And this is our song that we just sang before the lesson is based upon this psalm. Keep God's Word near. First of all, that can be a literal Bible. But if we don't have a literal Bible with us, we can keep it near us in memory, or we can go get our Bible. The chances of us sinning are greater if God's Word is not near us than it is if it is near us. If you're out with someone and you're about to do something that you shouldn't do, chances are you're not going to do it if there was a Bible between you, would you? Would you do it if there was a Bible between you? Probably not. We probably wouldn't pick up a beer can if that hand was holding a Bible. You see, if we keep God's Word near us, it's going to keep that other away from us. In Psalm 119 and verse 9, "Wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? Our song says, how shall the young secure their hearts? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I laid up in my heart that I might not sin against thee. We keep God's word near us. Before the lesson, I passed out a few of these, and I have some more if you'd like a copy, but I gave a few of these out to some of our young people. Keep this in your Bible. These are passages, and I've given them to parents as well. These are passages that deal with topics that come up that young people have in their mind. Young people are faced with a lot of things, and they're challenged with a lot of topics. And these passages, keep them near you. Keep them in your Bible. Passages dealing with morality, alcohol, smoking, drugs, cheating, stealing, when we're in a situation where we might want to cheat on a test. Cursing, dirty jokes, dancing, homosexuality, modest apparel, petting, which is the old term we used to use for when you're out on a date and you're touching in an inappropriate way. Pornography, young people faced with that on a daily basis with the internet. Marriage choices, work choices, career choices. These are things that are very important to young people. They need to know these things on a regular basis. We need to talk about these things. We need to know the scriptures on these things. And so, a list that you can keep near you. Keep God's word near you. Keep that Bible near you. And the devil will be far away when God and his word are near us. So it's very important. How shall a young man secure his heart, or how shall a young man cleanse his way? Verse 9, by taking heed according to thy word. Keep our Bible near us. Keep these scriptures near us. Look at them, examine them, read them, and it'll keep us from going off and engaging in something that is wrong. Yes, young people face pressures. They pick things up from other people. They might pick things up just in our home with TVs and movie and internet there. It doesn't have to be off at school or somewhere else. At home, other places, the world, the devil is there everywhere. Keep God's word near. That'll help us. And not just the Bible, but remember our Creator. And the word remember there in Ecclesiastes 12:1 is not just simply a casual thought, but call to mind. Keep God at the forefront of your mind as I'm about to go out and engage in something. Would God want me to do that? And then the verse says, before the evil days come, when you will say, I have no pleasure in them. There could be a time that could come in your life when you say, I don't have a pleasure anymore in going to church services. I don't have a pleasure. I'm getting older. I don't want to read my Bible. I don't want to do what God says. The devil can exploit that. We keep God in mind all through our life. We call God to remembrance all through our life to avoid that time when the devil might use that against us. Remember your Creator and keep Him near. But there's another passage. Turn with me to Lamentations chapter 3, a passage that we don't look at a lot, and I'd like to look at that this evening. Of course, the book of Lamentations is from the pen of Jeremiah. He was known as the weeping prophet. Of course, lament, to weep, to cry. Lamentations from Jeremiah is the crying and the lamenting over the destruction of Jerusalem. And there's one section here in Lamentations chapter 3 where Jeremiah is extolling the good things that God has given them. And he's thinking about the good things that God has given them. Let's start in Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 19. Lamentations 3:19. Remember my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath them still in remembrance and is bowed down within me. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of Jehovah's loving kindness that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great in thy faithfulness. Jehovah is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. Jehovah is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should hope and quietly wait for the salvation of Jehovah. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. He's talking about some things that he's calling to mind that are good. He's thinking about the good things of God. Here he is. This is the destruction of Jerusalem. Jerusalem has fallen. It's a terrible time. It's a time of weeping and sorrow. But he's trying to wait on God and wait until this time passes and salvation will come. And he's thinking about the good things. And one of the things that he says is, it is good that a man should hope, and it is good for a man that he bear the yoke of his youth. What Jeremiah is talking about there is that it's good for an individual to learn to work hard when they're young. And that work that they engage in when they're young makes them a good person. And that's a good thing in life. And it's good to wait on the Lord. And it's good to remember His... It's things that He's calling to mind that are good to remember, good to think about. And one of them is bearing the yoke of one's youth. Well, how does that tie into our lesson this evening? Well, when as parents and as young people, we teach the important principle of working as a young person. Do your chores. Clean up your room. Take out the trash. Do your chores. Be organized. A good work ethic. What that does is when you grow up and you become a teenager and a young college student and you're out there on your own, you're organized, you're mature, you're working hard, you're responsible, you're disciplined, and those values work together to keep you on the straight and narrow. It's the young person that is not bearing the yoke of youth that grows up, and what are they then? Well, the idle hands are the devil's workshop. They're not learning to be responsible and mature and organized and working hard and getting their chores done and being disciplined. And so they've got all kinds of time on their hands, and what do they engage in? Often it's sinful activities. Bear the yoke of your youth. In other words, as a young person, learn to grow up. And as parents, make sure that we're giving them opportunities to work and chores and those types of things. The yoke of youth is good. It's good that a man should bear the yoke of youth. I've talked with those who have grown up, and I've mentioned this before about the jail Bible class. I've had people tell me, my parents didn't teach me the Bible, and they didn't make me work. Well, what did you spend your time doing? Sinning, breaking the law, getting into trouble? It's good that a man should bear the yoke in his youth. And what that is it's good to learn to work hard, that a man bear the yoke in his youth. It makes us a better person. And we keep our minds focused on what is right and good because we're disciplined and we've been taught that through life. And when we grow up, we stay focused on that. And we're not spending our idle time doing the devil's will. Let's look at some other things. First of all, when we get out on our own, if we have resolve and purpose of heart, before the problem even comes up, we're able to take it on. Turn with me to Daniel chapter 1. Young people, when you get up each day, you don't know what life has in store for you that day. Whether it's going to school or going to college or going to work or whatever you're doing, you don't know what exactly is going to happen throughout that day. And if the devil throws something at your way, it doesn't matter. If you've gotten up that day and you've already got resolve in your heart that you're going to live right, it doesn't matter what he throws at you. You're going to be able to tackle that. You're going to be able to handle that. And so it gets back to what we were saying earlier. Keep God's word near. Remember your Creator. You're going to be on the Lord's side. When you get up each day with that resolve of heart, with that attitude of mind, if something comes about later that day where the devil's going to want to take you away, you're going to be able to stand. Do you remember the young people that Nebuchadnezzar brought from Jerusalem during the Babylonian captivity? He brought them from Jerusalem all the way up to Babylon, and he wanted to train them in the ways of the Babylonians. Well, some of that wouldn't be so bad. Maybe some of the political things or the leadership things, but the things involving idolatry would be very bad. And the things involved in eating things that would be improper for a Jew to eat, that would be bad. Well, these young people, they can get carted off hundreds of miles away, and they're thrown into this worldly environment. How do they withstand that? Do they just give in? Do they just cave in? No, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they remain faithful hundreds of miles away from their home. Why? It's given in verse 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. That's a resolve of heart. That's before the problem even comes. He had already purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself. In chapter 1 and verse 4, they're described as youths, young people. And also look at chapter 1 and verse 4. Here's a young person who's educated. Here's a young person who's smart.
but they're still putting God first. Look at verse 4. Youths in whom is no blemish, they look good. But look at this. Well-favored, skillful in all wisdom. Here's some young people that are smart. But, verse 8, they're still putting God first. It's not either or, it can be both. Some people says, well, you either have to be a Christian and dumb, or really smart and out in the world. No. Look at verse 4. They're skillful in wisdom. These were smart young men. High IQ. That's why Nebuchadnezzar got them. That's why he brought them back. But verse 8, they're putting God first. That's why in chapter 3, they will not bow down to the idol, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's why in chapter 6, Daniel is thrown into the lion's den. When he's told, you can't pray anymore, he says, no, I'm going to keep praying to God. Because of verse 8, resolve of heart, purpose of heart. So the point is simply this. That each morning when you get up, you don't know what's going to happen later that day. And the temptations that are going to come, the trials that are going to come. But if you've already gotten up that morning, maybe begun that morning with a brief prayer and begun that morning with just a small reading of a verse from the Bible, from your bed, maybe a proverb, something along those lines. You've been reminded that my heart is going to be on serving God this day. So no matter what is thrown at me, I'm going to live the right way. What a great principle from these young people in the book of Daniel. So keep and have purpose ahead of time. And whatever comes throughout the day, you'll be able to handle that. Don't allow the things of this life to get in the way of your spirituality. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 19. We looked at the rich young ruler this morning. Our young people are so bombarded with things. Your parents and your grandparents can remember a day when the day was a lot simpler. You know, there was just a lot less things, material things, gadgets. You might go out and climb a tree. You might go out and skip a rock. You might go climb a fence. But now there's just all kinds of things to have, all kinds of things to buy. Not necessarily bad, but our day is full of things. And keep in mind, young people, that those things have a place and have a purpose, but don't let things get in the way of what is important, and that is coming to Jesus and serving Jesus. You're familiar with the rich young ruler in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 20, the young man. The reason I wanted to use Matthew 19 is he's described as the young man. The young man said unto him, all these things I have observed, what lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if you would be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when the young man heard the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he was one that had great possessions. Well, my mom and dad bought me this, and I have this, and I own this, and I have this, and I have that. Don't let things get in the way. Things got in this young man's way. He was standing right there at Jesus, could have obeyed the Lord, but he walked away. He let things, possessions, get in the way. And we are blessed. God blesses us. We're blessed in this nation. We own a lot of things. We buy a lot of things. We have a lot of things in our room, but don't let things get in the way of your spirituality. Your attendance at services, your reading of your Bible, your obeying of the gospel, things that are important in life. Those things should be kept off to the side. They're secondary. The Lord is first. Look at another young man. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15, who allowed things just to get in the way of his spirituality. In Luke chapter 15, of course, we read about the prodigal son. And again, things in and of themselves may not be bad, but young people today are bombarded with things, what they own, and technology, and gadgets, and this and that, and those things can become so time-consuming that they often get in the way. And so in Luke chapter 15 and verse 12, the younger of the sons came to his father, Luke 15, 12, Father, give me the portion of thy substance, things, possessions. And he divided it to him. Verse 13, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there he wasted his substance in riotous living. He left his father. He wasn't serving God. He wasn't putting God first. And he's so bad off. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine, and he began to be in want. Later we find that he had spent some time with some harlots, prostitutes. The good thing about this story is that he comes back. The prodigal son returns, but notice in verse 13 and 14, it was things. Father, give me my stuff, and then I'm going to go out and live it up. We've got to be careful that what we own and what we have does not get in the way of our spirituality. Turn with me to Acts chapter 7. A few more points and the lesson will be yours. Don't go along with evil. You're going to have a friend. You're going to have someone that's going to encourage you to do evil. And you know, the challenge for our young people today is that person doesn't actually have to be a warm body in the room next to you. It can be on the other end of the computer. It can be on the other end of some piece of technology. Did you happen to read the bulletin article that I put in the bulletin a few weeks ago about if a man wants friends, he should show himself friendly? The brother that wrote that article was trying to make a point that in Bible times, a friend was actually a warm body that you talked to. Today, a friend, you don't even have to know them because of the social networking and that type of thing. And there's nothing wrong with that type of thing. But when we talk about someone influencing us to do evil, it doesn't even have to be a warm body anymore. When I was Mason's age, there was a schoolmate that invited me over after school to do something that was wrong. It was actually a warm body. Today, you don't even have to have that. A person can be inviting you to do something wrong, and you're not even speaking to them. You don't even know them. You've never met them in your life. That's some of the special challenges of our young people today. Turn with me to Acts chapter 7. Don't go along with evil that's being engaged in. And it could be someone who's a warm body encouraging you to do that, or someone on the other end of the computer or somewhere else. Just do not engage in that. Do you remember when Stephen was being stoned? Where did the men lay their coats? In verse 58, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him and laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. Now, Saul didn't throw one stone that day. But look at verse 1 of chapter 8. And Saul was consenting unto his death. He didn't throw one stone. But he stood there and went along with it. So, there are going to be people. There are going to be young people around you. You may have never met them in your life. Because of the way technology works today, they can be a friend. And they can be encouraging you to do something that's wrong. Do not consent. Do not go along with that. Leave. Stay away from that. Do not engage in that kind of thing. Always stand up for what is right. Turn with me to Acts chapter 23. You know one thing about youth? They have vigor and vitality, and they're young, and they're idealistic, and they've got energy. And you know what? That can be used in their advantage. A young person can be a person who just stands up for what is right. Sometimes the older we get, our zeal cools off about standing for what is right. But you get a young person, and they're enthusiastic, and they're idealistic, and they're going to stand up for what is right. And you have that in your favor. Do you remember Paul's nephew, the young man in Acts 23? He heard that some people were going to kill his uncle. Look at chapter 23, verse 11. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, for thou hast testified concerning me at Jerusalem, so you must bear witness also at Rome." And when it was day, the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And there were more than 40 that made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, "We have bound ourselves under a curse to taste nothing until we have killed Paul. Now therefore, do you with counsel signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you, as though you would judge his case more exactly, and we, before he comes, are ready to slay him." And so they were going to catch him on the way and kill him. But Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, and he came and entered the castle and told Paul. I want you to underscore in your Bible right there, he started this. He came. You stand up for what is right and be the first one to take action. He came and entered to the castle and told Paul, notice the boldness there. And Paul called him unto him, one of the centurions, and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he has something to tell him. So he took him and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and asked me to bring this young man unto thee who has something to say. And notice that he speaks up. He doesn't keep quiet. He doesn't say, I don't think I can do this. He stayed with it all the way to the end. You stand up for what is right. Verse 19, and the chief captain took him by the hand and going aside asked him privately, what is it that you have to tell me? And the young man said, the Jews have agreed to ask thee to bring down Paul tomorrow unto the council, as though you would inquire somewhat more exactly. Do not therefore... Look at this young man. This young man telling an older council member, don't do it. Can you imagine that? Yes, a young person can stand up for what is right. And they might even have to tell an older person what is right. Do not therefore yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them of more than 40 men who have bound themselves under a curse, neither to eat nor drink until they have slain him, and now are ready, looking for the promise for thee. So the chief captain let the young man go, charging him, tell no man what you have signified of these things to me. Can you imagine this young man going into the council, going into Paul, going into the chief captain? You stand up for what is right, always. And as a result of this young man, Paul is guarded, and this conspiracy is thwarted. This assassination attempt is thwarted. What a great young person. Always stand up for what is right. And then last of all, and the lesson is yours, be a positive role model. As you're turning over to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12, a lot of times we hear about peer pressure. And one of the things that Ken was praying about in his prayer the other day that I took notice of was this matter of keep them from peer pressure. And that is a great pressure on our young people and older life today. But here's something to think about. Instead of getting up each day thinking, who's going to pressure me today? Just turn that around. Think about, who am I going to pressure for good? Who am I going to influence for good? We just assume that it has to be the other way around. No. You get up. You are the influence. You are the example. You are the pressure. And young people, listen, I have heard young people out in the world who aren't Christians, I've heard them say, because they were in the presence of a young Christian, that young Christian got me to thinking about how I'm dressing. That young Christian has got me to thinking about the words that I'm using. We can be an influence on the world. So be a positive role model. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, look at what Paul is telling young Timothy in verse 12. Let no man despise thy youth, but you be an example. Be thou an example to them that believe in word, in the things that come out of your mouth, in your manner of life, that's going to include your clothing and other things, in love, how you treat people, in faith, there's your service to God and Christ, in purity, we're not going to engage in things that are immoral. You be an example. What a great thing. We just automatically assume that young people, young Christians, they're going to be pressured by the world. Well, they are. But we can turn that around each day. And we can be the pressure. We can be the mold. We can be the influence. And it does work. I have heard it. I have heard young people in the world say, because of the presence of a young Christian, I need to make some changes. So yes, your role modeling is seen and heard. It is. In fact, because you are so different, it's really obvious. And with the right young person out in the world who is looking for truth and looking for good, they see that. They want the light of truth. They want something, and you give that to them. You be that role model. Well, the lesson is yours. The days of youth are great days. They're great days of joy and happiness, and they can be great days of serving the Lord, and you can do some things to live each day in the Lord's service. Trust in the Lord. Follow the advice of older, wiser Christians. Keep God's Word near you. Remember your Creator. Work hard when you're young. That'll keep you on the straight and narrow. Have a purpose and a resolve of heart. Don't allow the things of this life to get in the way of
your spirituality. Don't go along with evil. Always stand up for what is right and be a positive role model. I hope that this has helped. And that prayer that Ken prayed is an important prayer. We need to pray for our young people. And that's not the first time he's ever done that. I've heard that different times from Ken. We need to remember our children. We need to remember our young people. They are very important to us. And I hope that this has helped in some way. We're going to stand and sing a song of encouragement. If you are a young person here this evening that needs to respond to the gospel, we would encourage you to do that. Or as a young person who is a Christian, continue living right. It's difficult from day to day, and whether it's going back to school or some other place, those challenges are out there. But with these principles that we've looked at this evening from God's Word, you can be right and live right, and you can be pleasing to God. If we can assist you in any way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?